You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
All right, the NFL draft is coming up next week. Starts on Thursday. So we thought it'd be a great time to talk to the general manager of your New York Jets, Joe Douglas. And he joins us right now. Joe, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How are you doing?
Great, guys. How you doing?
We're doing great.
Happy Friday, everybody.
Same thing to you. Rather than go through all the questions, just tell us who you're picking with 4 and 10, and we'll get this over with quickly. Yeah. You can go to dinner.
Yeah, make it real quick. now you guys got to tune in for that one next week.
All right. So let me ask you this, because there's only so much you could say. Would you be willing to trade the 10th pick in the first round for an available wide receiver that you deem a game changer?
Look, I think, I would say this, if the right opportunity presents itself, we'd be willing to talk about any scenario. If it was the right situation, right player, we'd be willing to discuss any scenario.
Now, obviously trying to get weapons for your maturing quarterback has to be, number one. So can you do that through the draft, Joe, or would you prefer to find a veteran, kind of what Stephon Diggs was able to do for Allen in Buffalo, to make sure that your quarterback's got some weapons to grow?
Yeah, no, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think what we are trying to do is help a young quarterback develop the best way that we can, and different teams do it in different ways. I think when you look in Buffalo, they did it they did that trade, and it ended up being a great trade after Josh's third year. So I do think in a perfect world, you hit the ground running with a proven player that can help your team, help your quarterback. But at the same time, we've got a really young team, and we're all growing together. And this is a really good draft, and we have a unique opportunity here with picks 4, 10, 35, and 38 to find 4 impact players for our team, and that can grow with last year's class and the year before that and really ascend together.
Joe, do you see it?
I'm sorry, Peter, you go.
No, I apologize for the delay. Joe, I was just going to say, do you, as a fan, on the outside looking in, we think about these available guys like a Deebo Samuel, and it's, to me, it's very appealing because ultimately with a high draft pick, you're hoping to score a player that good. As a GM, do you view finding, a really special offensive player in the draft as incredibly difficult? And also, do you consider the wide receiver position in particular one where you need to give it time to develop to someone who's at the level of a Deebo Samuel?
Well, I think different players develop at different rates. I think you've seen recently, especially at the wideout position, it used to be back when I first started in the league, wideouts were historically a position that needed time. A lot of these guys were coming out of colleges that frankly didn't throw the ball that much. Your wishbone offenses, run first offenses. I think with the inception, and I think I saw today that Brandon Bean and his presser talked a little bit about this too. It's just a different era of football where skill positions are being highlighted at a younger age. Offenses are throwing the ball at a younger age in peewee football and up. So these skill guys are coming into the league a little bit more sophisticated and pro-ready than they were 10, 15 years ago. So I think it used to be the defensive players were the guys, and running backs were the guys that you could come in, that could come in and as rookies and be impact players. But I do think you're seeing wide receivers, tight ends coming in and making impacts earlier.
Joe, I keep reading that this is a deep wide receiver draft. You've looked at everybody, I'm sure. Do you agree that this is a draft where you could get difference makers at wide receiver, maybe even in the second round?
No, I think this is a deep draft at multiple positions, but certainly a wide receiver. I felt like really the two drafts leading up to this one, the same could be said. I think in that kind of goes to the last question and answer. I think wide receivers every year, you're going to see a bigger clump of wide receivers that teams, bigger group of wide receivers that teams feel can come in and maybe contribute earlier.
Have you prioritized like your need for what you want at 4 and 10, or are you still in that philosophy, best available player?
No, I mean we're best player available. What we do and you know it starts a long time ago. But you know last week we had a great week with our coaches and our scouts, and we all get in the draft room and we hash out opinion. Everyone has their own ranking. Everybody has their own opinion. We go through the process, and then this week, you know, we get together with our coordinators, with our top lieutenants personnel. We make sure that we have, you know, our top 10 really ironed out. And these are the 10 best football players for the New York Jets. So that's how we're gonna set our board and follow the board come next Thursday night.
I've always wondered about that, Joe. Not that I'm saying that it's not true. When people say I'm going to take the best available player, well, you have the fourth pick. Let's say at the number four, and I'm not saying how your board is located, but let's say Kenny Pickett's the best player. You're not going to pick Kenny Pickett.
Well, I think, you know, it's a great point, Michael, because I think when every team sets their board, mm-hmm. the secret to it is they set the board for their team. And so when we put the best, the top 10, the top 38 players, we're putting the best 38 players for our team, for our roster, for our culture, for what we're trying to build. You know, I think it's safe to say, I don't think this is breaking news, we're not going to be taking a quarterback at pick 4 this year,
right?
But you know, we are going to have a strong group of 10 players that if, you know, if we stay at 4 and 10, we're going to be really excited about adding to the team.
Would you shy away at 4? Again, it could be the best available player for an offensive lineman. That would be 3 in 3 years, and there might not even be the starting spot for that player if you take him.
Yeah, look, I mean, we're always going to – we believe in the line of scrimmage. As cliche as that may be, you know, we still think that games are won and lost at the line of scrimmage. And, you know, part of developing your quarterback is making sure that he's healthy and he's on his feet. So while it may not be a position that comes out the gate right away, it's still a very important position. And, you know, we've got to look at not just this year, but years 2023, 2024, what our depth chart looks like. And so, you know, O-line and D-line are obviously really important positions for us.
How do you feel about Becton coming into this year?
Feel great. You know, he's down in Dallas. He's working hard. He's rehabbing. He's working out with Duke Mannyweather. And I know Duke runs a great program down there in Dallas for the offensive linemen. And you know, he's getting ready to welcome a newborn with his girlfriend. And so you know, we've been checking in with him, checking in with his medical team, making sure that everything's going well in his progression back. And looking forward to him getting back on the field, doing good things.
Now, I know it's voluntary. I mean, it has to be said, it's voluntary. But the fact that, you know, there's questions about his health and everything, although you have been conferring with doctors, are you a little disappointed he's not there or wasn't there?
Look, I mean, the main thing, and you hit the nail on the head, is this is a voluntary deal. And, you know, of course, every coach, every person part of the team would love 100% attendance, but no, I think the communication has been strong. I feel like it's not like we don't know what the heck's going on with Mekhi in Dallas. You know, we feel good about his progression and where he's at, and can't wait to get him back on the field.
You know, there's nothing you can do about this, Joe, but I almost feel bad. Just in the sense that you look at your division, right? You've got Josh Allen. Now Russell Wilson joins the conference. So how much pressure is on your young quarterback to keep up with the Joneses when there's just so much competition at the quarterback position in your conference?
Right. I mean, it's not just the division; it's the entire conference. Like you said, there is a big uptick in the talent acquisition and the players added to the division and the conference. So, look, I mean, Zach can't worry about the other quarterbacks in the conference. He's got to, again, it sounds cliche, he just has to worry about himself, and he just has to worry about getting better, you know, one meeting at a time, one practice at a time. And really that goes not only for Zach, but for all of our young players and all of our new additions. And it's fun because we started OTAs this week, and it's good to see all the players out there working out, competing, building some camaraderie and chemistry, and this is a really good time to do that while the spotlight's not on you.
Joe, we had a conversation the other day about, you know, when everyone was speculating, could Debo come to the Jets, would that work? And a couple of Jets fans got upset because we said, you know, truth be told, it's hard to picture a very imaginative Jets offense utilizing someone like Debo the way he was utilized under Shanahan. Do you think that's an unfair assessment that about the Jets offense, or is sort of making things a little bit flashier, a little bit different, something you plan on doing in the future with this team?
Look, I mean, I think you see from the staff that we added last year, they have a lot of knowledge of this particular offense, and so you know, it's our job and personnel to provide the staff with difference makers and guys that maybe can create a more creative aspect to this offense. And you know, with this coaching staff being in year two, all these young players being in year two, I think there's a sense of guys knowing exactly what to expect. Not only coaches from players, but players from coaches. And so I think there's a real comfort level with our players now, with the scheme, with our coaches, with the players in the meeting rooms. And so, you know, I think the guys are really going to mesh well together and do strong things.
Jets general manager Joe Douglas is our guest here on the Michael Kay Show. Help me through this. I know being a GM is tough. It's not an easy job, whichever way you want to view it, but why do GMs, Joe, always seem, I mean, I shouldn't say every single time, but for the majority of time, there's a disgruntled player says he wants to get traded, they trade him. Why doesn't a GM ever say, you're staying right here, because if you don't play for us, you're not going to play for anybody?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, obviously, we had a similar situation. We had that situation happen a few years ago. Mm-hmm. I think it got to the point with us. I think every situation is different. In our situation with Jamal, it was a team stepped up, made a really strong offer, and we felt it was the best thing to do for the team. You know, so, but at the same time, if you don't receive the offer you're looking for, you're prepared to do what you have to do, you know, from a business perspective and protect the team that way as well. So I think every situation is different.
Does Seattle pick up your phone calls? I mean, because you just completely took them to the woodshed on that trade.
I wouldn't say that. I mean, Jamal went there, had a great season. You know, first of all, I mean, I have so much respect for John Schneider and Pete Carroll. And look, they went to the playoffs. They won the division, if I remember correctly, and had a great year. I mean, I don't think anyone was expecting their quarterback to go down or, you know, have a season that they have, because they've been one of the best and most consistent teams in the NFL over the last 10, 15 years. But I, you know, John's been the general manager of the Seattle Seahawks for well over 10 years. He's, I think he's one of the best, if not the best general managers in the National Football League. And I love spending time with him, talking with him, and really, trying to pick his brain for knowledge whenever I can.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do you like the corners in this draft, Joe?
I think it's a strong group. I think you saw last year in last year's class, there were a few guys that went high, but there were also a nice handful of corners that came in and had strong years that were maybe taken later in the first into the second and third. I think it's going to be similar in that regard. I think you're going to have a couple. It's strong at the top, and then there's still a group of about 4 to 6 corners that are going to come in and be really strong contributors and help teams win games.
You mentioned you have 4 picks in the first 2 rounds. Joe, if you ended up selecting a player at every single one of them, would you be satisfied, or are you looking to wheel and deal?
I mean, look, we're always going to answer the phone call, right? And if there's an opportunity, whether it's whether there's someone that's fallen that we're really excited about maybe pursuing, or an opportunity to maybe pick up some extra picks for next year's draft. Look, I mean, if the situation presents itself, I think, you know, when we get into these strategy meetings with everyone and hash out different scenarios, those are really the things that we're talking about. And there's obviously having these 9 picks in the first 5 rounds. There's a lot of different rabbit holes that we can go down in terms of scenarios, and it's been fun getting with Coach Sala and his staff and Rex and all the personnel guys and going through those scenarios.
How close do you think you were to Hill? Did you believe you were going to get him when you made that offer? Or did you think you were kind of I thought you were getting used a little bit because I thought he was always going to go to Miami, but did you think it was realistic when you did it?
No, we thought we had a realistic shot. I mean, that's why we made the deal, and ultimately we didn't get it done. We didn't get it worked out. Look, I mean, it was a player that we felt could come in and help our team, a dangerous player, and one of the better wide receivers in the league, and we didn't get the job done, and so we got together afterwards. We talked about some things that maybe we could have done better, but look, we thought we were in it.
Joe, direct question: from what you saw of Zach Wilson, from the untrained eye, he looked okay. But do you see greatness there still?
Well, I think I 100% see greatness, and I see a young quarterback that really went through the ringer to start the year, and I think what was most encouraging about Zach was when he came back. I think he maybe had 1 turnover in the last 6 games. He was taking care of the football. He was playing within the scheme. You really saw him take a step within the season after going through a lot of adversity early, getting injured, coming back, not having our top 2 receivers and Corey and Elijah, and playing with a lot of backups at the skill position, but still executing the offense at a high level. And so seeing that, seeing his resiliency, his perseverance through that, and keeping it all together. It gives you a lot of hope.
So what beyond the wins and losses, because not all of it's in the control of the quarterback, will you look for to see that he's taken that big step in year 2?
Well, I think we're already seeing. I think the first thing was his nice little world tour around working out with teammates. And building that camaraderie with the skill guys in the off season, and now having all these guys here working out with them in OTAs, this is where that next step starts, and building that chemistry, building that camaraderie, and so Zach can read the body language of every single one of his receivers, know exactly when they're getting in and out of breaks, so he knows when to deliver the ball. So it becomes clockwork. So it becomes like breathing. You do it so much, you don't even realize you're doing it. So I think building that right now with the guys and taking it into training camp, that's how he's going to take the next step and also his skill guys.
All right, final question, Joe, and this is serious. When you're leading up, this is such a big part of a team, you know, taking that next step. Do you sleep at all in the weeks leading up to this? I mean, do you get any sleep or rest at all?
There hasn't been a ton. You know, I usually I come home late, pop on I'm still kind of wired from watching tape or a discussion that we had, and maybe watch a quick show late night before I try to get some sleep. But there's not going to be a ton of rest and relaxation until we get to Saturday night and the haze in the barn on this draft. But it's a great process, and I can't say enough about the hard work and effort that not only the coaching staff has done, but also our personnel and scouting staff. I mean, and how they've been coming together and working together. It's been a great few months.
What's a quick show you watch before you go to bed?
I've been like from. I'll get home, throw on like HBO Max. I just finished season one of Our Flag Means Death, which is pretty funny. It's a good quirky comedy show. I like that one, and I'm working on switched over. I heard some good things about Peacemaker, and John Cena, he's really good in that. It's been a good start to that series.
Well, I'm going to give you a little help before we let you go. The owner of the Jets, Woody Johnson, put out on Twitter today asking the Jet fans, do you think our first pick will be offense or defense? 78% said defense, 22% said offense. Are they onto something?
So eight out of 10 are saying go D.
Yeah.
look, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, I think, our top 10 is, I can't say it's weighted one way or the other. It's pretty even. So we'll see on Thursday night how it shakes out. But we say at 4-10, we're excited about the guys we're going to add.
Well, you know what? It's good that the owner's helping out like that. So you should thank him.
And you're using both those picks, right?
We'll see.
All right.
We will see.
Try to get some rest. Thanks, Joe.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
You too.
You too.
That's Joe Douglas. I mean, those interviews, you're both tap dancing, trying to get some information out of him. But I kind of think, I don't know if Samuel's available. I don't know if he is, Don. But I think if he's available, I think they'd give the 10th pick up. I don't think they'd give up the 4th pick.
Everything that I'm reading and every sense I got from this interview and quotes that he's had, they want to get an experienced receiver.
Yeah, absolutely. And he did not shoot that down at all.
Right. And you could tell how beat up they were about Hill. Now, I don't know what they could have done differently, maybe giving up the 10th pick, but just based on how they beat up on themselves figuring they could have done more to get Hill, I really think they're going to make a deal to get Samuel. I really think they're going to at least make the attempt. We'll see what happens.
It all depends on San Francisco. I think they'd be willing to, but is San Francisco, who controls him for 3 more years, or are they going to make the deal?
When you were talking about players, making demands, for the most part, it's the quarterback that's got the power. I don't know if Samuel's got that kind of power. And with the franchise tag that they have, they can keep him for the next 3 years. Are they just going to cave and take an offer, especially when who was it that we talked to, Michael, that said that they have, no leverage because they know that he wants out?
Right.
So can you really? Yeah, it was Sal Palantonio. So how wouldn't you be better off keeping him than just accommodating him? He's still he's outstanding. That's still a good football team. I don't know.
Also, I mean, Thursday seems so far away. There's so many things to do. But I got pumped when I heard Bear get pumped about the draft.
Yeah,
Bear was engaged. So that was big.
You heard that?
Everybody in our footprint heard that.
I heard him louder than your question.
It was as loud a bark as he's ever had on the show.
Wow. All right, we'll take a brief time out, towel off, get your Phone calls at 1-800-919-3776. Big end of the week ENN coming up at 6. It's Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg bearing you right here on Yes on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.